Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap for Saturday, April 14th. A happy 414 day to all my tappers in Milwaukee. Good day to sit around, have a few beers, listen to the podcast, maybe go out for a little bit in this crappy weather. Everybody up north of me, stay safe. I know Green Bay is getting absolutely pounded with snow from our Green Bay correspondent, Pat Luce, up there. Just stay safe, y'all. Don't do anything too dumb. Hopefully the snow melts as quick as it came in. That's just ridiculous. If we had 24 inches of snow, I had probably given up. I probably just would have called it. I probably would have said, you know what? You won, winter. I'm done. And this is no more. So have a good show. We probably will not tape again till late afternoon on Sunday. Wrap up what happened in Bucks Celtics in game one. Also wrap up with the Brewers and Mets series and all the other NBA recap things. Probably then on Monday, then talk about anything else that we feel like it. So excited to get into it. Excited to talk. Not going to do a lot of NBA since we are heavy on that the last 2 days. If you haven't listened, go back. The playoffs are tipping off right now. Warriors and Spurs. Kind of weak to get it started, but that's okay. If it wasn't Warriors Spurs, it'd be Wizards Raps. So any which way, it's all right with me. So with the start of this, we're going to talk a little bit about the sign Dez movement that I wouldn't say we started on Twitter, but Nolan Murphy, producer Murph, had called it out, and I jumped all over it to say, yeah, Snowtap's joining the sign Dez movement. I decided to go all in on that idea. I think that the Packers should make a play for Dez Bryant. I think it's at the right cost, right? I don't think it's something that you do and you overpay this guy. I don't think that is what happens at all. Rather, I think you're very smart about it. You're very tactical about it, and you make it happen if it makes sense at a price. It's not one of those things where you're going to go off the cuff and sign this guy to a 3-year deal worth $40 million or something ridiculous like that. So if the right price, it does make sense. And I think Dez would bring a lot to the table. I think people are looking at Dez's numbers from the last 2 years and saying, hey, no, this guy has massive red flags. He's dropping everything. He's been really inconsistent. And I think a lot of it has to do with Dak Prescott. I don't think Dez Bryant has had a true quarterback in the last 2 years to get him the ball. It's not to say that Dak Prescott isn't a good quarterback. It's more to say that Dak Prescott isn't the type of quarterback for Dez Bryant. And Dez doesn't really fit in with a guy like Prescott, who is more of a run-first offense under Prescott. Prescott's a guy who's a check-down artist. He's not a guy who's going to stretch the field. And if Dez had a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the sky's the limit. And people would say, oh, well, why would you bring Dez and you couldn't bring a class guy like Jordan, which is a classic Wisconsin racism thing that we don't need to dive into right now. But at the same time, Dez is a superior athlete to Jordy. He is faster. He is a better perimeter receiver than Jordy Nelson is at this very moment. I don't know, when Jordy was in his prime, we could argue that case. But the Packers would become this unbelievable red zone team if you added Dez Bryant. Think about this. You're going in for a touchdown. You have Dez Bryant, Jimmy Graham, and Devontae Adams. And oh, hey, by the way, Randall Cobb's your fourth option. That's absurd. How do you stop that? How do you actually stop that? You could essentially run a four wide system, have Dez and Devontae on the ends, Randall and Jimmy standing up, and you're just running crossing patterns. How do you stop that? You do not stop that team in the red zone. As Murph said to me in a chat yesterday, it's a Madden-like offense. You are not stopping the Packers. So that is more than enough reason why the Packers should sign Dez Bryant. I understand there are some character issues there, but I think he was dealt a raw hand in Dallas. I think he did not like that Zeke Elliott sort of took over this team. I think it bothered him even that the Cowboys showed so much support for Zeke when he was going through those rough times. And I think Dez probably believed in his head that the Cowboys would not show him the same love. He had a falling out with Jason Garrett, Jerry Jones. And I think that, yes, you dealt with shitheads like Demaryius Randall, but I do think a guy like Dez, who's focused on winning, and you bringing in guys who are just all focused on the same thing, it's a good thing. Now, does he actually come to Green Bay? I don't know, man. Like, He's playing up the revenge angle really hard right now. Now, this is the first day after it. Things change. Motivation changes. Everything changes. You look at the teams in the – and he wants to play in the NFC East, or he wants to play against the team that the Cowboys may face in 2018. And you look at the NFC East, first of all, you could rule out the Eagles. There's no way Howie Roseman would do this deal. There's no way Howie Roseman would need a Dez Bryant on his roster. And then the Giants, I mean, Eli Manning has some weapons already with Odell Beckham, and the Giants are still in a rebuilding stage. I doubt that the Giants would go after Dez Bryant. So that leaves the Washington Redskins. Now, the Washington Redskins are an interesting one. This seems like a classic Daniel Snyder move, right? But would he really want to play for a quarterback like Alex Smith? I mean, Alex Smith would be exactly the type of quarterback that he just dealt with. I don't think you'd really be happy about that. And the Panthers have already said they're going to be all good about it. If you go at teams that are returning to Dallas, Jacksonville is interesting, but once again, you get the Bortles thing. Lions, I think, are a sneaky one. I think that would be a team that would be really unfortunate to see them. But you look at a team who had a big receiver like Calvin Johnson. Matt Stafford has a huge arm. I think that would immediately help the Lions. They do have a pretty good receiving core already with Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. Tampa Bay, another team that has Mike Evans. I don't think they need a Dez Bryant. New Orleans, who just got Cam Meredith. So I don't know. I don't really know who is that team that you could really say, all right, that fits in with the Dez model. And there are some away opponents, maybe Atlanta. But it's just you could point to other guys. You're like, yeah, there's Julio Jones there. Dez fits in with the Packers because he fills a void. He fills a need for this team of a perimeter receiver. And so you kind of break it all down and you're like, where is Dez going to find this NFC East team unless the Giants decide we can make it work with Odell Beckham and Dez Bryant? I doubt that Dave Gettleman, after all the drama this team just went through, that Dave Gettleman's going to say, okay, yeah, sure, Dez, just walk right in here and be the guy. So I want to sign Dez. I think if the money's right, if everything makes sense, get after Dez and let's get going. So the Brewers had their first game against the Mets. Really good test for the Brewers this weekend, with the Mets being 10-1 before last night, where they're now 11-1, and a 6-5 victory that was a lot closer, or a lot more of a blowout, I guess, than the box score shows. Brewers were down 6-2 at one point. Zach Davies really struggled on the mound. Dan Jennings didn't really do much better. Brewers came back with a couple home runs from Travis Shaw and Ryan Braun, which was nice to see, and good fight, but Jarris Familiar too much in the ninth. And now you have to wonder if the Mets are really this good. I mean, you look at the Mets roster, and they are kind of loaded right now, and they don't have any pitching injuries right now, which is a big thing. Steven Matz, Matt Harvey, Zach Wheeler are all pitching okay, and then you add Syndergaard and DeGrom, and like that is a massive rotation. And now you look at that offense, they add guys like Jay Bruce, Todd Frazier, who are noted Brewer killers, so maybe that's part of it. I mean, Todd Frazier, people forget, like when Todd Frazier played for the Reds, and him and Jay Bruce would absolutely mash against the Milwaukee Brewers, and that continued last night. Frazier hit two home runs against Zach Davies, and Davies really wasn't good last night. I mean, Davies, as good as he was against Chicago, he really struggled locating his pitches last night, leaving a lot up, leaving a lot for chance. I don't know if it was a Jeff Andy thing. I don't know if it was just Davies was not good, but they did really struggle. And I do think that they pose a real threat to the Brewers when it comes to the wild card spot, because you now look at this wild card, and I said already earlier, you know, this year, before, as previewing the season, like NL's really good, and that could be something where the Brewers win 87 games and they're still on the outside looking in, because you have teams like the Mets and the Nationals who are going to be battling for the NL East all year. You have the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers who are battling for the NL West, and oh yeah, the Rockies are okay, the Cardinals are okay, the Brewers, I think right now deem them okay. So you have all these teams who are halfway good. And that the Mets are going to feast against the Atlantas, who's playing pretty good baseball right now. But they're going to feast against Miami. They get the most games against the Marlins this year. So do the Nationals. I mean, that's going to help them tremendously. So they could lock in a wild card spot this year. It's early. I mean, we've seen teams get off the hot starts and derail. Injuries happen. Things go wrong. You never know. But this Mets team is a legit contender out the gates. Mets were my pick for the NL wild card, and they're making me look smart. I had the Mets and the Brewers. That's making me look smart at this point, because I really do think the Mets are a very good team with a very potent roster. And the Brewers may be running into a buzzsaw right now. We'll see. I mean, tonight's one you got to get, because you had Chase Anderson, who's your technical quote-unquote ace. Syndergaard's going tomorrow afternoon. Syndergaard's been tough against the crew throughout his career. I mean, he's been tough against everybody through his career. And then Matt Harvey going for the Mets, who's been okay, but he's still not the Matt Harvey that I think we once knew from a few years ago. I swear I can talk. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, good to see the Brewers fight back. Christian Yelich potentially coming back on Sunday. He was swinging the bat, took some BP. He could be back for Sunday. If not Sunday, he's probably back for the Red Series and then the Marlins, which will be a much needed boost to the offense. So it was good to see the offense get going a little bit with five runs. Granted, all came on the long ball, but that's okay. At least the Brewers are getting some runs, because that's must needed. I think that's the first time they've got to five runs in quite some time. I have to look it up. I don't have it on me at this point. I do also want to wish everybody a happy 4-4 day, as I mentioned earlier. Milwaukee's in a good spot, man. I know that there's a lot going on. There's a lot wrong with Milwaukee, and there's still a lot to be fixed. But the amount of civic pride we have in this city is beautiful. I think we've done a great job as a city of building it up. I think Milwaukee was, I won't say in a bad spot, but I'll tell you, when I was going into college, so I was 18, it was 2007, 2008, I did not want to come back to Milwaukee. I thought I'd go to Eau Claire. I thought that I'd play football for 4 years and then I'd leave and I'd go somewhere else, because I just was done. Like I didn't have this relationship with Milwaukee. And then I had a choice to go to Columbus to do ticket sales for the Blue Jackets. And it was right after college, and I had wanted to work in sports, and this seemed like a way in and everything like that. And the contract was really low, and I bawled. Like, I cried my eyes out, because I didn't want to leave. Like, I had another choice to do an internship in Erie, Pennsylvania for $500 a month. That I probably would have went broke. I didn't have enough saving money, and I decided not to do it. And I could have left behind everything, and it could have just completely changed the course of my life for the last, I don't know, 5 years. I don't have my girlfriend that I do now. If I were gone and I'd came back or whatever, I'm so happy I never left. I'm so happy that I've built a relationship with Milwaukee that I think is unlike I've had, you know, my whole life. Like, it's continued to grow. I was a kid in the suburbs. I didn't look down on Milwaukee, but my parents and I weren't going to Bucks games all the time. We weren't coming down to Milwaukee for dinner on a regular basis. We were pretty secluded in the suburbs. Like, it's not that that's a bad thing or a knock on my parents, but that's just how they raised me. So to be ingrained into the city, it makes me so happy. I'm going to go out on this stupid weather day and go out and have a few beers and enjoy the fact that I'm from this city and that I am a Milwaukee resident. I'm a very proud Milwaukee resident, and I'm happy to call the city my home. I do want to see a championship here. I would probably take the Brewers over the Bucks, just because the relationship I have with the Brewers, it goes a long way with my father. And to see my father see the Brewers win a World Series would mean the world to me. And it would be unexplainable. I would be amazing. So I hope that does happen at some point in the near future. So happy Milwaukee Day. Guys, enjoy it. Be safe. Don't be assholes. Like, let's all enjoy this day. Let's not be dicks. And yes, the weather does suck, but we can all commiserate in our Milwaukee-based beers, which I'll feel wrong if I don't drink a few Milwaukee beers tonight. Maybe do the Milwaukee champagne at Sport Club later this afternoon. All right, guys, that about does it for us. Like I said, we'll have a podcast, I don't know, right after the Bucks game. Might wait till the Brewers get done too, but we will have a podcast in the late afternoon for Sunday. And then we will talk to you next week as the NBA playoffs roll on, as I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. So, okay, Tappers, you know where you can find us. StoneTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you'd like. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good 414 day. We'll see you later. Bye.